This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hi, everyone. So I want to get right into the material today. The first part I'm going to talk about is overindulgence, and then a question that actually fits this topic perfectly. It's a scenario where parents are disagreeing about whether or not a morning ritual of snuggling and a bottle of milk is in their child's best interest developmentally. And it's actually a perfect scenario as an example to break down whether or not something may be overindulgent and lead to issues with independence or not. So it's a really perfect match for the subject of this episode. So I wanted to start out with talking about overindulgence, because I think, number one, it's not always what we think it is. And number two, it often comes from a good place, a place with good intentions. And I think us parents right now may be feeling a bit guilty. I don't know if guilty is quite the right word, but there's a lot weighing on us. And I think we are concerned about our children's development and mental health for sure. I think it's likely knocking us off balance, and we may be overindulging more than usual, or at minimum, tempted to do so. None of this is bad. Believe me, I'm right there with you. When I share these things, it's because I'm struggling with a lot of it myself. And so I know a lot of other parents must be dealing with a lot of the same feelings and scenarios themselves. So first, let's get into a little bit about overindulgence. Overindulgence is a lot more than just too many toys or too many sweets. It's giving too much, but it's also giving too soon and or for too long. So we might have a little indulgence here or there, but if we do it for too long, it becomes an overindulgence. So yes, it's giving too much that children are overwhelmed, be it toys that they don't play with or a closet full of clothes where they never get to wear most of them before they grow out of them. Now, there was a study done by David Breidenhoff, PhD, Professor Emeritus at Concordia University. He and his colleagues found that overindulgence falls into three categories: material overindulgence, which is giving too much stuff; relational overindulgence, which is a parent who does too much for the child, which creates an overfunctioning parent, which leads to an underfunctioning child; and then third is structural overindulgence. Parents have very few rules and little follow-through. This can manifest in things like no chores or too much freedom. Now, as I mentioned, overindulgence comes from good intentions because it comes from wanting kids to have the best, wanting kids to be as happy as possible. And I think parents who have particular family dynamics are more at risk for this. If the child is very sick early on or has a high level of special needs, or another child in the family has special needs and gets a lot of attention, if a parent was sick, if there's a divorce, any number of these traumatic life experiences can lead parents to be prone to overindulgence. We feel guilty or like we need to make up for something. And I think this pandemic may be creating this scenario for a lot of families these days. We feel bad that our kids can't even go to school. They can't play outside with their friends like they used to. We can't go out to dinner. They can't go to the mall. They can't go to a theme park. All of these usual life activities that make life interesting have been stripped away. While we may not feel responsible for what's happening, we may feel responsible to our children to make up for it somehow. And so overindulgence may be sneaking in, or has probably been sneaking in for a while in some cases. So how do we walk this line? It's not easy right now. For a lot of us, screen time is our big battle. And I don't mean with the kids necessarily, but I mean internally with ourselves, at least mentally. How much is too much? What's the big deal if I buy my kid a new gaming system? What else are they supposed to do right now? So what if I bought them that game that they really wanted and it wasn't for a birthday or a holiday? They're stuck at home and all their friends are playing it. I'm sure a lot of you have had these internal dialogues. We're at a different point, and so we're trying to balance things like overindulgence in a different way than we have in the past. Now, I'll speak to this overindulgence and the pandemic in a few minutes. But before that, I want to cover some more foundation so that we all have a strong basic understanding of overindulgence and the ill effects, so that I can then cover balancing this out and coming to some good decisions and terms about what boundaries we feel are appropriate, helpful in the long term, as well as making life livable in the meantime. When it comes to overindulgence, there are some negative effects. When we end up giving too much and or too soon, it is counterproductive to raising responsible, happy, successful kids. Research shows that overindulgence leads to self-centeredness, greed, unwillingness to be held accountable for actions. As in the case of relational overindulgence, where the parent does too much, it leads to children who aren't capable. Psychologists' standpoint is that kids don't need parents who will make their kids happy. They need parents who will help their children become capable. So we need a shift from feeling like we need to keep kids entertained and happy to helping them become good citizens, good decision makers, and able to cope with life's ups and downs. So just a quick example of one area that this came into play in our family. Then I'll talk about that fine line that we're walking right now with this pandemic. And then I'm going to get to the question, which is a perfect example to break down and figure out if something is overindulgence or not. So what are both the long and short-term goals, and what effect is this scenario having on those goals, if any? So in our house, and this is an example of where I did this really well and made solid considerations, but my kids do get overindulged sometimes as well. And I'll share more of that right after this when I talk about how we're handling all these scenarios with the pandemic. So my daughter started asking for horseback riding lessons when she was really little, probably 5 or 6 years old. Now, while a lot of stables will start kids as early as 5 or 6, I told her that she needed to wait until she was 10, and I had a couple reasons for this. Number one was actually safety. I had done some research, and that showed that 10 is the age when the spinal column is formed enough to handle a fall with some impact, with a much smaller chance of any kind of long-term concerning neural damage. Number two, riding is a big responsibility. It's a live creature. I felt my daughter should truly understand and be capable of performing the tasks that go along with riding, such as safety, understanding safety, the education, the grooming, the tacking, the cleaning of the stalls. She should also respect the animal and have an appreciation for how to behave around horses, be able to listen and follow those directions well when she's told how to be around a horse, how to behave around a horse, how to keep herself under control if something flies around and freaks her out, that she can't be going silly and crazy around a horse. Lastly, riding is very expensive, and children's cognitive abilities, their ability to listen and follow those directions, and connect it with their physical abilities to understand what is being asked of them, then to make the movements, then to be strong enough, to have their body strong enough for the horse to respond to their body, that starting at 7 or 8 versus at 10, that within 6 months, the 10-year-old will be easily caught up with the child that started earlier. So that's just my example of something that my daughter wanted to do very young that I felt wasn't age appropriate yet for all of the responsibility that should be expected of her with that task. Okay, so now here we are. We're all going through this pandemic. How are we doing with this? What ways has it affected overindulgence? I think we're all just weary. We're trying to get through each day. So our kids are spending far more time on screens than we would like or normally would allow. I know for myself and most other parents that I speak with that we are accepting and even welcoming of it because it's pretty much the only social outlet most of our kids have. So here's the line we're walking and where I think most of us can work from, if this is kind of our starting place to work from, is that refraining from overindulgence in the areas of giving experiences that are not age appropriate. So still saying no to the video game that is too old for our child. So my 11-year-old came to me the other day and asked if he could play Call of Duty. That was a quick, absolutely not out of my mouth. Then he asked why. So we looked it up together. Now, I'm not one to stay 100% within guidelines. If I feel like there's solid reasons why it's a safe or appropriate content, I will do the research and look it up. So we looked it up together. And I actually use commonsensemedia.org. So for anyone who's wondering about a good resource to go to when you're wondering about games, books, movies, shows, that kind of thing. They do really in-depth reviews of all of those games, shows, movies, I think even books, and their ratings. And then other parents and children actually also will give reviews as well. So as you can guess, the teenagers often say that things are perfectly fine for an 11-year-old when they're really not even a parent. They're still a child, so they're not able to make really well-informed decisions. But I really like the site for their solid information and for the reviews that come down from the child development specialists on that site. Now, the reviews that I saw on there just affirmed my no way decision, and I showed it to Carter. Now, of course, he didn't agree with me, but what 11-year-old is going to agree with a parent when they're told no? They think they're more mature. They think they can handle it. I just feel like the content was just not appropriate for an 11-year-old, that he really was going to fully understand that it was really fantasy, or I just really didn't want him exposed to it. It's just a lot of negative stuff. So I think this is one area where it's good to hold that line. Another area is the relational indulgence piece. Now, I'm going to go more into this, remind everyone what that is, how to refrain from a relational overindulgence, as well as get to the question about whether or not this family's morning ritual has any hint of overindulgence, and if they're therefore risking any effects in the long term, right after a word from our sponsors. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care. Enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Now that we're back after the break, let's get back to talking about relational overindulgence. So this is the parent doing too much. So overfunctioning parent leading to underfunctioning child. So the pandemic, if anything, offers us this double-edged sword here. It does offer us a lot of opportunity to help our kids, guide our kids, work with our kids on becoming more independent. However, it also allows us a lot of opportunity to give our kids a lot of freedom with their time where they may not always make the best choices. Guilty of both of these. Well, the first one is the good thing. The second one, not so much. And I mean, our kids aren't out running amok, but when we aren't setting boundaries and expectations daily and holding them to those, they're likely just choosing to play games or watch videos all day. Definitely guilty of this. My oldest son has always been so responsible about school that I just believed him when he said all his work was done. As it turned out, he had gotten very far behind in school. He wasn't shirking it on purpose. He really just wasn't understanding what all was expected of him and where to find all of his assignments. When we met with his teachers, we found out there was a whole slew of classwork he was missing. Whatever excuses I have, work, selling the house and buying a house, these days where I'm just struggling with my own emotional stuff for the 10,985th day in lockdown, I wasn't staying on top of it, and I wasn't helping him stay accountable. And actually, all of our kids had fallen quite far behind. Well, two of the three. The two we thought really were getting their work done when they said they were getting their work done, we let them go. We just weren't checking in frequently enough. The third one, we were on top of because we know this is a struggle of his. We were by far more on task with him than the other two. The other areas where I've slipped and have vowed to get more strict with this is reading. Each kid reading every day before any game time and me reading to them every day. Some other expectations. I'm also getting more strict about, are their rooms staying clean and are they getting daily showers? So I'm now creating a daily checklist for what needs to be complete before any gameplay can take place. Okay, checking the to-do list on their schoolwork, the missing tab for school. So they have two tabs. They have a to-do list and then a missing list. So the to-do list is what's due this week. Missing is what they've fallen behind on. So checking those every single day. They need to read 30 to 40 minutes every single day, make sure their room is clean, and they have had a shower before they are going to be allowed to get on gameplay. This is my new plan, and this is where we're going to be working on our overindulgence in this house. So making sure all responsibilities are taken care of before any playtime can occur and actually checking it rather than just asking about it, because we know how that goes. Okay, so let's get to this question. Eric wrote in and he asked, "Hello, Erin. My question for you is regarding my nearly 4-year-old daughter. Every night at bedtime and every morning, we have given her a bottle of milk pretty much since she could drink cow's milk. The problem is that now, having been off work for several months due to COVID, she's gotten into the habit of asking her daddy, me, to bring her a bottle of milk and snuggle with her every morning, which at first I indulged in, as I was normally always off to work at 6 a.m. and never got to see my daughter in the mornings. The problem is that my wife is now trying to homeschool my daughter and I will be returning to work soon, and she now refuses to get up unless daddy brings her a bottle of milk and snuggles with her. This upsets my wife, who is adamant that I'm spoiling my daughter and she does not want me giving her a bottle of milk in the morning or snuggling anymore. She wants my daughter to get herself up and dressed and come down for breakfast on her own, which I agree is a good thing. However, my daughter will dig her heels in and lay in her bed and cry for her milk. Part of me feels it's a battle that will resolve itself, but I'm not a psychologist, and I do recognize the importance of building a child's sense of autonomy. But at the same time, I don't want her to feel overwhelmed or unloved if the help she seeks is simply her love language. I'm quite confused with how to proceed and what the best way would be to break the milk bottle and snuggling habit. Thanks in advance for all your podcasts and videos. Cheers. Now, this is a great question because I can easily see both sides of this struggle and the positives to both. I love, Eric, that you and your daughter are bonding in this way. This is very special and something positive to come of all of this. She will grow up and you and she will both fondly look back on these times as very special memories. However, the other side is, once you go back to work, there's no more opportunity for this. Then mom is left with a toddler melting down for her milk as mom is trying to get the day going. So before I get into my answer on how to best compromise on this, I want to frame this in reference to the overindulgence conversation. So mom and dad too, both want daughter to be self-sufficient and start taking responsibility for getting herself ready. This is a great goal, an important goal. But love and connection are also important. So the question is, to what degree, if any, is this morning ritual impeding her ability to do that, to get herself ready? In other words, after the bottle and snuggle time, does she get right up and get ready? Or is it then she wants someone staying around to help her and keep milking that process? Now, no pun intended with that. If she's able to just hop up and then get ready, then it's not impeding this process at all. So for now, let's assume this is the case. Let's assume that after her snuggle time, she's getting right up, getting herself ready, getting downstairs. If that's not the case, then that's a whole other piece that you're going to have to work on. Okay, but even so, there's still two areas to be addressed. Number one is, what happens? How does this transition once dad is no longer available in the mornings? Two, my other concern is more that daughter seems to have control of the situation. Now, I'm not really sure to what degree, how far she digs in to if you just let it go and tell her you're not giving her the milk, how long does it take her to come around? But with the meltdown as the reaction. So now this is common at 3 and 4. This is her routine. This is what she's used to. It's comforting to her, etc. But I think if mom and dad can work together, you can work on a way to meet all of these goals. Daughter working on being more self-sufficient, daughter still getting morning routine snuggles, and daughter not relying on that when it can't happen. So how do you do all of this? So first, mom and dad sitting down and talking about what the morning routine will need to look like when dad goes back to work. Also having a date and an idea of that date. So you may not know exactly dad's going to go back to work on March 1st, but maybe you know dad's going back to work somewhere between January 15th and February 7th. You have kind of a date to line to play with. So knowing what that is will be helpful. Then you can work towards something that works better for everyone. So once dad is back to work, will snuggling on weekends still work? You want to lay out exactly what this will look like. So then you're going to work towards that. So this might include something like dropping the milk bottle but keeping the snuggles for right now. Then having her get herself ready after snuggle time. Once you design your plan, you both sit down and share with your daughter. You want to share the good news or a positive first. Like, I absolutely love our mornings together and we're doing what we can to keep that. But we also decided it's time for you to start working towards getting yourself ready in the mornings because dad's going to be going back to work soon and we have a plan. Starting tomorrow, we will still have snuggle time, but it's time to get rid of the morning bottle. Or you can give her a one-day warning. So tomorrow will be our last morning bottle. Then if you decide to do that, then the next day you're going to remind her both during and after the bottle, remember, this is our last morning bottle. Starting tomorrow, there will be no bottle, but there will still be cuddles. Then this will become the new routine. You can do a couple things, either or both. Shorten the snuggle time or start talking about when you will go back to work. You will still be available for weekends, but not during the week. If you can still do one or two mornings a week, you could keep those, but start working on weaning down and off the mornings you won't be able to. So this will get her transitioned to a new morning routine for mornings dad won't be around. It'll make life easier for mom when that does happen. And you will still have that quality time during the days that you can still do it. You also need to get her used to the idea that there may be some mornings you can't do it. So that will happen, obviously, with the going back to work, so that she's not having these meltdowns over not having her bottle or her snuggle time. And getting her used to that idea that, you know, it's really nice when we get to have these things, but we can't always expect it. It's that expectation and the upset over it, which is where I see a little bit of overindulgence coming in. So I hope you found this really helpful. I hope this gives you a good plan for transition. For more on overindulgence, the class is out on the website, Also, the class, Raising Responsible Kids, goes really nicely with this concept of how to support kids throughout childhood into having all the skills, both logistical and organization skills, as well as social-emotional skills for dealing with life's ups and downs and disappointments. And these are all on the website at yourvillageonline.com, along with all the 60 classes on positive discipline, development and health, and education and modern parenting. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.